Well, it was a gem by Madison Bumgarner, a blast by Connor Gillespie, and a wild card victory by the San Francisco Giants. Bumgarner went the distance on a four-hitter, and Gillespie launched a three-run homer in the ninth inning off Jury's Familia to send the Giants to a 3-0 shutout win over the New York Mets. The outcome put San Francisco in the National League Division Series against the Chicago Cubs. Bumgarner ran his consecutive postseason scoreless streak to 23 innings by silencing a ball club that won 27 of its final 40 regular season games. The lefty's only trouble came in the bottom of the fifth inning when T.J. Rivera led off with a double before Bumgarner worked out of a first and second jam. Bumgarner also has a 23-inning scoreless streak in winner-take-all postseason games, having worked five shutout innings of relief in Game 7 of the 2014 World Series and a complete game blanking of the Pirates in the wildcard game that year. Bumgarner is 8-3 with three complete games and a 194 earned run average over 97 and a third innings in his 15 career postseason appearances. The Giants teed off on Familia after leaving the bases loaded in the eighth inning against Addison Reed. Brandon Crawford greeted the Mets closer with a leadoff double in the ninth. Joe Panik worked out a walk, and that was followed by Gillespie's blast. Gillespie had two of the Giants' five hits in his first Major League postseason game. Familia now has one loss and three blown saves in his last five postseason appearances. He led the majors with 51 saves during the regular season. The Mets wasted a terrific outing by Noah Syndergaard, who struck out 10 and held the Giants to two hits over seven shutout innings. Syndergaard was working on a no-hitter until Denard Span poked a two-out single in the sixth. The Giants' division series gets underway Friday at Wrigley Field. Johnny Cueto is expected to take the mound for Game 1 against Chicago Cubs hurler John Lester. Well, the Rangers have announced that all-star lefty Cole Hamels will start Game 1 of the ALDS tonight against Toronto. Hamels went 15-5 this year, but was 1-1 with a 7.31 ERA over his last six starts. He didn't face the Blue Jays during the regular season. Yu Darvish will start Game 2 for Texas, followed by Colby Lewis and Martin Perez if a Game 4 is necessary. As for the other AL Division Series, 22-game winner Rick Porcello will start the opener of Boston Series against the Indians Thursday in Cleveland. Porcello will oppose Trevor Bauer before David Price hooks up with the Indians ace Corey Kluber in Game 2 on Friday. The Blue Jays say they are planning tougher security measures and alcohol policies at the Rogers Center after a fan threw a can at Baltimore outfielder Hyun-Soo Kim during Tuesday's AL wildcard game. Toronto has apologized to the Orioles and pledged to help authorities identify that spectator. National second baseman Daniel Murphy says he felt good after working out with the team in preparation for Game 1 of the National League Division Series against the Dodgers. However, the runner-up for the National League batting crown won't say whether he'll be ready for Friday's opener. Murphy hasn't started a game for the National League East champion since September 17th due to a strained muscle in his backside. Major League Baseball plans to have a decision during the offseason on possible discipline stemming from the investigation of a St. Louis Cardinals employee who hacked into a Houston Astros computer system. Former St. Louis scouting director Christopher Correa was sentenced in July to 46 months in prison in order to pay more than $279,000 in restitution after pleading guilty to five counts of unauthorized access of a protected computer from 2013 to at least 2014. When he pleaded guilty in January, Correa had maintained that he found proprietary Cardinals information in the Astros database. Cardinals chairman Bill DeWitt Jr. had blamed the hack on roguish behavior by a handful of officials. "We are in the process of finishing up our investigation." That's according to Baseball Commissioner Rob Manfred. He said Wednesday he wished it had gotten a little bit more help a little sooner from the U.S. Attorney's Office, but the cards come up how they come up, and we're going to finish the investigation, and there will be a resolution of that during this offseason. Well, the Iowa Hawkeyes need a victory as they get set to visit Minnesota in the annual battle for Floyd of Rosedale. Losses in two of their last three games have dropped the Hawkeyes to 3-2 on the season.
I don't know about must win. I think you obviously want to win them all, but at the same time, yeah, it's important for us, you know, to come back this week and, you know, get a win and not let this loss last week turn into two. So, you know, we're doing everything we can this week to go up to Minneapolis and come home with a win.
That's senior receiver Riley McCarron, who had eight receptions in a 38-31 loss to Northwestern. The Hawkeye defense needs to make strides after giving up 362 yards, including 198 on the ground to the Wildcats.
We're just trying to go back to work every day. We've been trying to do that all year, but I think we've had really good energy this week, at least on the defensive end of the practice field. I don't know about the offense because I'm not over there, but I've heard good things from their 2 days so far. But yeah, today especially, we got a lot of energy running around out there.
That's junior linebacker Ben Neiman. Senior cornerback Desmond King says the Gophers want to set up the pass with their ground game.
I see a very, very similar offense to ours. Somebody is going to run the ball, you know, through the whole game, try to control the clock. kind of like that, and try to keep you asleep and play action and take a deep shot down the field.
A key to the game will be Minnesota's offensive line against Iowa's defensive front.
They're big up front, and they really drive guys off the ball, so we got to really play with leverage and just come off the ball and hit them.
That's Iowa junior defensive tackle Nathan Budgeta. We'll have that game for you Saturday here on the radio. It's an 11 o'clock kickoff up at TCF Bank Stadium in Minneapolis. We'll be on the air 9 o'clock in the morning with that pregame show. Well, the Iowa State Cyclones hope more progress will lead to a victory after letting a late lead slip away in a 45-42 loss to 13th-ranked Baylor. The Cyclones are on the road this week to play Oklahoma State.
You know, we did see a lot of growth there in the offense. I mean, put up 42 points in the first six drives. We put points on the board, so, I mean, that was really fun to see. But, I mean, we just got to finish and, you know, get the nail in the coffin.
That's senior offensive tackle Nick Fett, who says improvement by the offense began on the practice field.
Coaches really put an emphasis on it, and then we have too, as players, we started to buy into really that we need to practice hard to, you know, get that opportunity to play well on Saturday. And, you know, and that just keeps showing up every week that we prepare. We pray a little bit better every week, and we're getting a little more comfortable with each other, and that helps a lot too.
The ISU defense will be challenged against the Cowboys. Junior quarterback Mason Rudolph leads an offense that averages more than 42 points and 450 yards per game.
I look at their offense just like any other offense in the country. They rely heavily on timing. If, you know, we can get pressure in his face and make him step one side to the left, one extra step to the right, throw off the timing, throw off a read, that'll make a big difference on the back end.
That's junior defensive back Everett Edwards, who says the Cyclones have to improve their tackling before Saturday's game.
Every day we work on tackling drills, but, you know, we have to, you know, take it a little bit more serious. And we do that, and we'll see improvement on Saturday, just like we've seen improvements with everything else that we've done thus far.
Iowa State is 1-4 heading into that Saturday contest. Texas football coach Charlie Strong has received a vote of confidence from one of the university's leaders. School president Greg Fenvis has tweeted that he had a great call with Strong, and the university is behind its athletes and coaches for the upcoming game and the rest of the season. The tweet comes after athletic director Mike Perrin told a reporter that he needed to evaluate how the team lost to Oklahoma State last weekend. Strong is 13-16 in three seasons at Texas and under pressure to turn things around in Austin. He came to the Longhorns after going 37-15 in four seasons at Louisville, including a 23-3 mark in his last 2 years with the Cardinals. Well, the NCAA is now facing 43 class action lawsuits related to the handling of concussions by Division I football programs after 18 more were filed this week. The complaints also name college conferences and, in some cases, schools. The Chicago-based law firm of Edelson PC has been filing the lawsuits in batches since May. The latest were filed Tuesday on behalf of former players from Texas A&M, UCLA, Maryland, Richmond, Idaho, South Carolina, Mississippi, Syracuse, Pittsburgh, Georgia Tech, Notre Dame, Alabama, and Iowa. On Monday, former players from Memphis, Ball State, Rutgers, Eastern Michigan, and Florida A&M filed lawsuits. In the NFL news, Arizona Cardinals quarterback Carson Palmer won't play in tonight's game against San Francisco. Coach Bruce Arians says the veteran signal caller remains in the concussion protocol and has not been cleared to play. That means backup Drew Stanton will make his 13th start of his 10-year NFL career. Stanton hasn't started since 2014 when he was 5-3 after Palmer went down with shoulder and knee injuries. In basketball news, Iowa basketball coach Fran McCaffrey says he has a good feeling about this year's team, even though the Hawkeyes will have a new look. Four starters are gone from last year's team that finished 22-11 and lost to eventual national champion Villanova in the second round of the NCAA tournament.
So the key now is to try to maintain some consistency with which we put together. And that's a challenge for the next group. And it's a challenge for our coaching staff. This is a different team. And it's a young team.
McCaffrey says the Hawkeyes will make progress as they gain more experience. The top returning player is senior guard Peter Jock, who averaged just over 16 points and shot 40% from three-point range. McCaffrey says Jock will need to diversify his game this season.
Because he's going to see tight coverage in a lot of ways, whether it's double teaming, rotating personnel, physicality. I mean, whatever you want to point toward, he's going to see it all. So the critical thing for him is going to be to keep moving, and the critical thing for us is going to be keep getting them open.
Well, the top returning player is, or the freshman, Tyler Cook, rather, is expected to make an immediate impact. And McCaffrey calls the 6'9" native of St. Louis a potential star.
You guys have been around me, know that I say what I think, typically. So it's not like, let's go easy and not push him. You know, you got to have a responsibility, to be honest. I mean, I think he's an impact player, certainly on our team, in our league, and on a national level. I think he's that good.
The Hawkeyes open up with an exhibition game against Regis University on November 4th. That's a look at sports this hour, brought to you by Marnie Elkhorn Telephone Company. Check with them for complete internet hookup. I'm Jim Field, KJAN Sports.